Somebody say, praise the Lord. Somebody say it again, praise the Lord. Before I get into the scripture, I need to make an announcement, and I know I want to jump right into this message, but I've got to make this announcement. This is, we've got a lot going on. As you know, brothers and sisters in arms are both starting up next month in September, the 11th for brothers and 18th for sisters. Yeah, okay, brothers. I see you, brother. All right, and that's going to be over at the Fort Gratiot campus. We're excited about that. We also have been working on something that I want to tell you quickly about. I'm not going to get into detail, but we are working on a recovery ministry that we're about to launch here in the next few months over at the Fort Gratiot campus, and we're really excited about it. We've got Devin and Jason Frunzak and Howard Colby helping us do that, and we're excited. And I'm going to tell you more in the coming months about what's going to happen there, but we are so excited about this ministry. But coming up in October, we're going to do something. We did it last year briefly, just a small version of it, but we're going to bring back the Free Fall Festival in all of its glory this year. Last year we did a small scaled down version of it, but we're going to bring it back bigger and better this year. And it's going to be October 27th. And so the reason I'm making this announcement today, even though it's October 27th, is because this is a big undertaking. We do a lot, and it's for the community. At its height, we had 3,000 people come onto our campus for the Free Fall Festival at the very height of the festival. We did it for about 6-7 years, and then we stopped it for the last several years. And so we started up again last year, and this year is going to be bigger and better. So we're going to have our staff and our team in the Welcome Center immediately following service, and what we want you to do is we want you to volunteer to help during the Free Fall Festival. If everybody here serves for that one night, it's from 6 to 9 p.m., but we're going to need some people beforehand and some people afterwards for setup and teardown, but we need you to work during. If everybody helps, then you can work an hour of the festival, and then you can spend the other 2 hours with your family. Doesn't that sound good? That you're not working the entire time. So how many here right now on the spot will raise your hand and say, I'm going to volunteer to help? Raise your hand. If you're going to volunteer, even if you're just not sure but you want to, raise your hand. All right. I want to see all of you in the Welcome Center after service signing up, okay? And don't go back there and go, oh, there's too many people in line. All right? Wait a few minutes and sign up so we can get your names down. And now we're not going to put you in any position. What we're going to do is we're just going to sign you all up, okay? And then Gabrielle Smith, who is our spiritual care pastor, but she's also going to head up the Free Fall Festival this year with some helpers that are assisting her. They're going to sort through all of us, okay, and tell us where to work, all right? Now, they'll talk to you and say, hey, do you have a preference? You know, if you don't want to be at the front gate greeting people because you don't like people, then we won't put you there, all right? We'll put you behind the scenes, you know, making cotton candy or something, all right? Thank you so much. We're excited about this. It's a big deal, and it's going to be a great outreach for our community. We would love to get a couple thousand people onto this property October 27th, wouldn't you? Amen? Give them it's Free Fall Festival. The reason we call it Free Fall Festival, because everything's free. We bring food trucks out. We give prizes. We have these game booths, and we give it all away. It's all completely free to the community. They come, and we give them game tickets, and we give them food tickets, and the kids just play, and the adults play. Everybody plays. It's fun. Hay rides and bonfires and all that. So we'll tell you more about that when it gets closer, but we want you to serve. Thank you for that. All right, the title of today's message is Walk in the Light, and I want to get right into it. Like I said, I do have an illustration today. You know, I love illustrations, so I'm going to get into that in just a few minutes, but I want to get right into the scripture. So I want you to turn to two scriptures, Isaiah chapter 9 and John chapter 8. Isaiah 9, go there. Yes, it's going to be on the screen, but open up your Bible, open your app up, do whatever. If you got this, open this up. If you got this, open this up, all right? All right, let's go there together. Isaiah 9, verse 1 and 2. Here we go. It says, nevertheless, that time of darkness and despair will not go on forever. The land of Zebulun and Naphtali will be humbled, but there will be a time in the future when Galilee of the Gentiles, which lies along the road that runs between the Jordan and the sea, will be filled with glory. Come on, say amen. Verse 2, the people who walk in darkness will see a great light. For those who live in a land of deep darkness, a light will shine. All right, now I want you to go to John chapter 8, verse 12. John chapter 8, verse 12. Jesus spoke to the people once more and said, I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness because you will have the light that leads to life. You will have the light that leads to life. So here's my question to you this morning. Do you walk in the light or do you stumble through darkness? Now, before you're quick to answer, because, you know, I can hear it in our heads. Many of us are quick to answer, oh, I'm saved. Of course I walk in the light, right? I'm saved, so I walk in the light. But maybe we stumble in darkness more than we realize. Maybe we stumble in darkness more than we realize. Maybe you stumble around in the darkness and you don't understand that you're stumbling in darkness. I don't understand that maybe I'm stumbling in the darkness. So let's look a little closer at what Jesus said. Jesus is the Word of God. Say the Word of God. Jesus is the Word of God. So this is the Word of God. Amen? So this is Jesus. Jesus is the Word. The Word is Jesus. Okay? John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. And later in that chapter, it tells us that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That's Jesus. So Jesus is the Word of God, and we need to understand that. So if you look at his statement, what Jesus said, he said, I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness because you will have the light that leads to life. All right? So I'm going to take this slow because you need to understand what the Lord is saying here today. See, that the answer to whether we stumble in darkness or not is found in the statement that Jesus is making here. He's saying, if you follow me, you will have the light that leads to life. But the catch is, you have to follow him. Right? You have to follow him. And so if he is the Word, you have to follow the Word. So are you always following him? Or are we sometimes following man-made ideas of him? So let's look at Matthew chapter 15, just to get a little deeper into this and understand what I mean by man-made ideas. Matthew chapter 15, verses 1 through 9, all right? It's 9 verses, but I'm going to go through it quickly. Watch this. Some Pharisees and teachers of religious law now arrive from Jerusalem to see Jesus, and they ask him, why do your disciples disobey an age-old tradition? Why do your disciples disobey an age-old tradition? For they ignore our tradition of ceremonial hand-washing before they eat. And Jesus replied, and why do you, by your traditions, violate the direct commandments of God? For instance, God says, honor your father and mother, and anyone who speaks disrespectfully of father or mother must be put to death. But you say it is all right for people to say to their parents, sorry, I can't help you, for I have vowed to give to God what I would have given to you. In this way, you say that they don't need to honor their parents. And so you cancel the word of God for the sake of your own tradition. You hypocrites, Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you, for he wrote, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their worship is a farce, for they teach man-made ideas as commands from God. So clearly, Jesus is calling out these people for twisting the word of God for their own desires, for their own plans, for their own agendas. He's calling them out. And when we read scriptures like this, where Jesus calls out the Pharisees and the Sadducees and anybody else who he called out, we read this, we can be very quick to criticize and judge these Pharisees. You know what I'm talking about?
All those Pharisees, those hypocrites. Oh, man, those following those man-made ideas. Look at them. Man, they're such hypocrites. We can be real quick to judge that, but we need to be careful not to be so quick to judge the Pharisees, because the truth is, it's easy to drift away from the commands of God and make them and follow man-made ideas of God if we're not following the Word of God. It's easy. And I'm going to show it to you today. And every single one of us have done it. Every single person. Every single human being, no matter how saved you are, no matter how long you've been saved, okay, no matter how much you read the Word, I can show you, and we all know this, that every single one of us at one point or time in our lives, maybe even now, there are things in our lives where we're following man-made ideas of God instead of following the Word of God. Amen? For instance, let me give you an example. For instance, one of the things that we have battled for a long time in the church is the church dress code. That's an easy one, right, to pick on, right? It's an easy one. I can tell you right now, we're live stream, we're live on YouTube and our website and wherever else we're live, Vimeo, and I can tell you right now, there are people that, you know, we turn the comments off. The reason we turn the comments off, because we'll get all kinds of stuff, right? And this is just out there for... The reason we really do live stream is not to promote the church or anything. It's so that you, when you're on vacation or you're working or things like that, you can actually stay tuned and watch and be a part of the family. That's why we do it. We're not doing it to promote the River Church. We're not doing it to reach a worldwide audience, although that's great that people are reached. That's great that people in four other countries around the world are watching this right now. But I'll tell you what happens is, right now, I guarantee you there are people watching that are criticizing the way I'm dressed. Christians criticizing the way I'm dressed. Why? Because they are following man-made ideas of God. They're criticizing me because they don't think this is holy enough or righteous enough or the proper dress code. You know, the scriptures actually just say modesty, okay, is what the scriptures say. When you in your dress, be modest. And I don't want to belabor this because this is really, I don't want to get off in the weeds here, but you understand that wearing whatever you wear, it's not about that. God said he looks at the heart, not at the outward appearance, right? Man looks at outward appearance, God said. Man looks at outward appearance. God looks upon the, say it, heart. So God is looking at my heart today. He's not looking at my Hawaiian shirt, my khaki shorts, and my really cool slip-on, hey, they're not hey dudes, but they're hey cool dudes. I don't think he's impressed with my shoes or my Hawaiian shirt, my shorts, any more than he'd be impressed if I had on a suit and a tie. I did the suit and tie gig for many, many years, and I hated it. Okay, but some people love it. Look at Jeff back here. Jeff, come on, man. Look at you. You look sharp. Look at Jeff. Jeffrey, I have seen, but here's a beautiful thing about this man. I've seen him in a suit like that. That's stunning. It's just beautiful. Got the pocket square and everything, right? I mean, he's got it all going on. The matches, his tie. But I've also seen him in his shorts and a t-shirt. Man, I love that. Like anybody that can rock it like that, you know. Now, don't expect me to get up here in a suit and a tie. Like, I'm done with the ties. I'm done. But the point is that we've created this culture based on man-made ideas, not on the Word of God. And by doing that, by the church doing that, we exclude a lot of people. That's sad. It's sad that, and the Lord, don't you know what breaks his heart? It breaks his heart to see the church go and do that, and we've done it for years. But I'll just tell you this, a suit and tie is not official church attire or a dress, ladies. I love when Kim wears dresses, but that's not an official church attire. It's like it's not in our bylaws. You have to wear a suit and tie or a dress, right? That's not it. But that's what it's kind of become in a lot of places. And that, I don't want to, again, get off into that, but that's just a good example to show us that we can get off on these man-made ideas because we drift away from the Word of God.
In which means if we're drifting away from the Word of God, then we're in the darkness. Right? Okay, I'm going to show you this, okay, because some of you are stuck. Really? Yeah, let me show you. So let me ask you this. How does this happen? How does it happen? How do we get to that place where we're putting dress codes and things like that, man-made ideas, upon the body of Christ? Here's what I believe. Over the years, I've discovered that many people really do start with the right intentions. They really do. We can be quick to criticize and say, well, they were never really serious to begin with. And I don't believe that. I believe there are many people who started off serious about the Lord. I believe there are many people who realized that they were lost. They confessed that they had a need for a Savior. They asked Jesus to save them, and they started to begin their journey following Jesus. But somehow, somewhere along the way, they lost their way. How many of you know people like that? How many of you know somebody who said, man, they accepted Jesus. They accepted him. You know they did. You might have been there when they had the experience with him. And they started to follow Jesus down the road, this narrow road that we talk about. They started following him, and somewhere along the way, they got lost. They lost their way. I know some people, really good friends, that started that way, and then they don't even serve Jesus anymore. They don't even believe in God. How does that happen? Well, I believe it happens because they started following the light, but somewhere along the way, they thought they were following the light, but they were actually in darkness. They got off into these man-made ideas of God and who he might be and who he is and stuff like that, and they're not actually following the Word of God, and they got off in darkness, and before you know it, they're in pitch-black darkness, but they think they're following the light. It actually happens, and I'm going to show it to you in the Word of God. So this is how that takes place. And that's why we've said to you many, many times from this pulpit over the last 10 years, we've said, don't just take our word for it. Read it for yourself. Don't just take our word for it. You need to go home and you need to take the scripture and you need to read it, thoroughly read it. When I preach these scriptures today, I want you to go home. That's why I say look at it. Don't just watch it on the screen. Go and highlight it in your Bible, then go home this afternoon or tomorrow or whenever this week and read the scriptures I'm telling you about and talking to you about, and then cross-reference those and study it for yourself. Because if you see, wow, man, that doesn't mean that at all, then you need to do something about that. Don't just take my word for it. Go home, because that's how man-made ideas start to happen. I've said this to you many, many times before, but I'll say it again for those of you who haven't heard it. It's like the story of the lady who cut the ends off her ham for Thanksgiving dinner, or what, Easter dinner, whatever. Because you don't have ham for Thanksgiving, do you? You have turkey. She cut the ends off the ham for dinner, and her daughter said, Mom, why do you do that? And she said, I don't know, that's what Grandma always did, so I cut the ends off the ham. And so Grandma came over later that day, and she said, Grandma, why do you cut the ends off your ham? And she said, I don't know, that's what my mom did. And so I just started doing it. Well, when great-grandma came over, you know, a few minutes later, she asked great-grandma, and great-grandma said, the reason I cut the ends off is because my pan was too short. But grandma, great-grandma did it, so grandma did it, so mom did it. So had daughter not investigated, she would have done it the same thing. But you know what? She cannot waste those ends of the ham. She can just get a bigger pan now. But we do this with the Word of God all the time. We do it all the time. We hear something, it's passed down to us, and we just do it. So don't just take our word for it. So the more that they tried to walk without the light, the more they confused, they became disoriented, they started stumbling around over things, tripping over small objects they wouldn't trip over. You know, when you walk in the darkness, it's difficult. Right? It's difficult. And so these things started to happen, and they're following Jesus, but then they're not following him anymore, and they don't even realize it, and they're tripping over all these objects, and pretty soon they become one of those type of Christians, like, let's just say, one of those mean Christians. Anybody know what I'm talking about? One of those Christians that's mean? No? You don't know anybody like that? Okay. You know, it's one of those Christians that looked like they've been sucking on lemons all day. You know what I mean? And they're just like, they're always serious about, like, you know, there's never, like, don't tell a joke around them. They're just serious. And they're complaining about everything. the church does. I mean, man, the pastor cannot make a good decision in their eyes to save his life. Doesn't matter what he does, unless he puts them in charge of something, and then all of a sudden that's a great decision. They might crack a smile for a minute, but or they become one of those pious Christians. You know what I'm talking about? The pious Christians that they're the authority on everything, especially Scripture. You know what I mean? Like, they'll be the first to let you know that they're the authority on everything, especially Scripture. Their ideas are always the better ideas. They're the ones that actually think that Jesus has them on his short list of favorites. You know what I mean? They're really close to the top, maybe the top. They think that Jesus speaks to them before he does anybody else. Or they become one of those lukewarm Christians. You know, they're stagnant. They don't do anything. They just sit there in one spot, and apathy has set in, and they're content just to sit and not move. Okay? There's no passion for the things of God. Or they become a comfort Christian. Comfort Christian, we talk a lot about this. They believe in the abundant life, right? The abundant life. Jesus said that the thief came to steal, kill, and destroy, but I've came to give you life and life abundantly. And they think, man, that's me. Jesus came to give me abundant life, so comfort is Christianity. And so Jesus must have made that promise from Ellis Island in New York. Because it's the American dream. Comfort Christianity, right? So what happens is when we stumble in darkness and we get our eyes on man-made ideas of who God is, we start to get off in the weeds. We start to get off in places that cause us to stumble. And then we become somebody, someone who God didn't intend us to be. And it gives Christianity a bad name. Because people are watching you. They're watching me. So you say I'm a Christian. When you say I'm a Christian, what you're saying is, I have the answer for your life. Whether you realize it or not, that's what you're saying. I have the answer for your life. And if you'll just follow the person I'm following, your life is going to turn all around, and he's going to do great things in your life. And they're following, they're listening to you, they're listening to your words, and you say you're a Christian, so they're watching you. And if you are off in man-made ideas of who God is, and you're not truly following the word of God, then they're going to get off in those same man-made ideas. In fact, they're going to look at it and go, I don't know if I want to be a part of this. Like every time you have a problem in your life, you fall to pieces and it's a mess. I don't know if I want that because I do that in my life. Like where's the hope that you talk about? Or I'm listening to you and your language doesn't sound any different than the language I'm hearing from other people, so I don't understand how you're different. If we're in darkness and we don't realize we're in darkness, we can't lead somebody to the light. So man-made ideas of God's word and his commands. Isaiah 24:5, Amos 5:7, Micah 3:9, Galatians 1:7, 2 Peter 2:18, all of these scriptures speak of twisting the word of God to suit their evil desires. Every one of these scriptures speak of twisting the word of God. You need to understand that the enemy did not come and just directly lie to Adam and Eve. He twisted the word of God. He did lie, but he did it by twisting the word of God, right? He twisted it. He took a little bit of what God said and he twisted it. And that is what the enemy does. He'll take the word of God and he'll twist it. And if you don't know the word of God, then he's going to take that word that you don't know. You just know a little bit of it, right? Like if I said a scripture to you, let me start a scripture and let's see if you can finish it. For all have sinned and... Okay. Where is it found? Okay. All right. So, what's the scripture before that one? Don't look. Don't you cheat. I see some of you. Stop it. Stop it. You're like, hurry. He's not looking. What's the scripture after that one? Oh, thank you. Thank you. I love that. Okay. How about this one? He who the Son sets free. That's a good one, isn't it? Don't you love that scripture? Didn't you feel that one this morning? What's the scripture before that one? What's the one after it? You get the point? Man, I feel the presence of God this morning. Like, I know that you're probably like, man, this is just dull right now. Just wait. You're about to get this, okay? But I feel his presence so powerful right now because I believe he's speaking a truth to our hearts that if we'll grab hold of this, it will change everything. How many of you want revival in your family? Come on. Don't you? How many of you are thinking of somebody right now? Man, I want the Lord to get a hold of them like he got a hold of me. The reason I'm so emotional is because I know what the Lord's doing right now. And he's saying, we need to rest here for a second. We need to stop here for a second. Father, drive this point home to us today. Father, drive this point home. May we never forget this. May we take it seriously. May we not just leave this place and go on about our business, but Father, may this linger with us and stay with us so that we do something about it. I believe that if we would know the Word of God, know the truth, the whole truth, and it was right here in our hearts, that it would be a lot harder for the enemy to twist the truth, to twist the Word of God and cause us to become something that God never intended for us to be. He's caused the body of Christ, the enemy has caused the body of Christ to turn on one another, to become what he never created us to be, what God never created us to be. God never called you to turn on your brothers and sisters in Christ. Ever. It's not in the Word. And so, man, if we could just get a hold of this. Woman, if we could just get a hold of this. And understand that if we would know the scriptures, that the enemy couldn't twist them. Look at Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 8. It says this, it says, how can you say we are wise because we have the word of the Lord when your teachers have twisted it by writing lies? Look at this. Put that up there. Again, do you have that one? You don't have that one. Okay. I slipped that one in on you. How do you like that? Jeremiah, see, now you got to look at your scripture. See? Thank you, Bonnie. Jeremiah 8:8. How can you say we are wise because we have the word of the Lord when your teachers have twisted it by writing lies? Walking in the darkness, but they think they are in the light. Okay? So I want to show you something this morning. We got an illustration. So I got a couple guys that are going to help me out. Jim and Rodney, come and do what you're going to do. And then Tammy, you come on. Tammy's going to help us with this as well. And they're going to set this up for a moment. So just a moment, I'm going to have, Bonnie's going to turn off all the lights in here. Okay? So I want to illustrate something to you. It's simple. You already know this, but we're going to show it to you in real time so you can get an idea of what the Lord is talking about in his word this morning. I want you to think about, as we're setting this up, I want you to think about this statement. They were walking in darkness, but they thought they were in the light. They were walking in darkness, but they thought they were in the light. Again, Jeremiah 8:8. People say they're wise because they have the word of the Lord, but they don't realize that they were following man-made ideas of him. So I'm going to step down here. All right. Come on, Tammy. these guys out. Yeah, throw one out in the center out there. Let's throw this one out here. All right, Rodney and Jim, join Tammy over there. Go ahead and shut the lights off. Now I'm going to switch it up on them because they memorized this. Ouch. Okay. Shh. Quiet, please. Don't laugh at me. Hey, turn your phones off. I see y'all trying to look. Stop helping them. Put that phone down. I see that back there. All right. I'll let you take pictures in a moment. All right, Rodney, Tammy, and Jim, I want you to walk to me. Okay? And I'm going to count. Go. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Tammy just made it in 10. Boy, it just goes to show you. Come on, man. Where are you at? There you are. Okay. There we are. Okay. You can turn the lights back on. Just the house lights. All right. So it took them about 10 seconds for Tammy, and she's got supervision, I guess. Or she walked right down this white line. Guys, why didn't you set that up better? I'm going to switch it up. Now you're going to walk back again one more time in the darkness. Go ahead and shut the lights off. Hold on. Pay no attention to that noise. Shh. All right. You guys ready? All right. Walk back. 1. Well, I'm at 4 now. 5, 6, 7. 8. Good job, guys. Turn the lights back on. Tammy thinks it's a race, so she made it in like 8 seconds. So she gets the prize today. So one of the things that happens is when we're walking in the darkness, when the enemy is, you know, when we're not following the Lord and we're walking in the darkness, what the enemy does is he switches things up on us. You think you know how to navigate through darkness. But what he'll do is he'll switch it up on you and he'll set traps where you don't realize they're at. You think, well, I know this is a trap and I know that is a trap. And this is the trap of actually walking in our own wisdom or in man-made ideas of the word. Because then what we do is we think, well, I know how to navigate through this. Even by watching somebody else navigate through it, you can't navigate through it without the light of Christ. Because the enemy, what he'll do is he'll put a trap where there wasn't one before. And so we get in our own man-made ideas, our own wisdom. This is what pride does to us. In our own pride, our own wisdom, we think, I can navigate through this. I really don't need the Word of God every day in my life. Come on, y'all. I really don't need it every day. A few scriptures here and there are good. If I go to church every Sunday, I'm good. But I'm telling you, you can't get... from here on Sundays, you can't get what you need to navigate through life. If you're doing that, if you're relying on that, then you're not counting on the Word of God. You're not relying on the Word of God, the light of Christ, and you're going to stumble and fall. You're going to run into obstacles you didn't realize were there because the enemy is there to steal, kill, and destroy. He's there to trap you. All right? So shut the lights off again. And so if we're relying on the Word of God, then it's like this. So I'm just going to be the Word of God here, Jesus, all right? And now you follow me. Ready? Go. What happens when you're following the light of Christ is he goes before you. Amen? He goes before you. He's not behind you, and he's not, the enemy, well, the Bible says the enemy comes as an angel of light, right? Disguised as an angel of light, but what the enemy will do is he'll blind you, okay, with the light. You know, and if he does that to you, and then he goes, okay, walk, Tammy, now walk, and then he does this, all of a sudden that became a lot darker, didn't it?
Yes.
Why? Because he was doing this, and he got your eyes used to that, and then he told you to follow him, and he blinded you. But Jesus walks before you. Come on, guys. And when he's walking before you, he illuminates the path. And you can see not only him, but you can see the obstacles in the way. Even if he leads you through a tight place like this, he's got the light right there so you can see that tight spot that you're walking through. The scripture, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff comfort me. When Jesus is with you, when you're following the word of God, you don't have to fear. Now, this is a two-part message. I'm about to finish this here in a moment. But next week, I'm going to tell you something else about walking in the light that we don't realize a lot of times. We miss a very important aspect of this. Okay? Because not only did the word of God say that, Jesus say that I am the light of the world, Jesus said I am the light of the world, but Jesus said you are the light of the world. Okay, you can turn the lights back on. Thank you, guys. You can be seated. So clearly, we cannot, it's obvious that we cannot physically or spiritually walk in darkness. It's difficult and we'll stumble around. Get caught in traps. But how do we stay in the light? How do we stay in the light? Like I was just demonstrating to you. Psalm 119 has the answer. Go there real quickly. It's just a few minutes. I need to explain something to you here from the scripture. And then we're going to close this. Psalm 119, 105. This is the answer. Ready? Your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path. What guides our feet? What is a light? Say it again. The word of God. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to guide my path. Did you know what the psalmist was saying when he penned that in Psalm 119? He was saying that I will not go anywhere without your word, O Lord. I refuse to go anywhere without the word of God. Now, a few weeks ago, Scott taught from Psalm 119. If you were here for that message, how many remember that? Okay. Daylight, remember? Bowing down, humbling yourself before the Lord. He kept using that word, that Hebrew word, and he talked about this. He shared that this psalm, Psalm 119, is a Hebrew acrostic poem, and there are 22 stanzas, and each one for each successive letter in the Hebrew alphabet, okay? So each of the 8 verses within each stanza begins with the Hebrew letter named in its heading, all right? Does that make sense? So do you know what the Hebrew letter for Psalm 105 is, for the beginning of that stanza? It's the Hebrew letter Nun, N-U-N, Nun. Do you know what this letter means? It means kingdom. Kingdom. Now watch this. This is the letter. This is the pictograph. Right there. Nun, N-U-N. That's what it looks like. Do you know what it represents? This pictograph represents a servant kneeling down, okay, a servant kneeling down with a crown on his head. Who does that represent? Jesus. Jesus, our servant king. Jesus said, I didn't come to be served, I came to serve. Our servant king knew is what this represents. And this is the heading letter for this stanza of scripture, okay? So look at it now. Watch this. Look at it, all 8 verses, starting with verse 105. Ready? Verse 105, okay? Right before this, in the Bible, it says Nun, N-U-N. Your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path. I've promised it once, and I'll promise it again. I will obey your righteous regulations. I have suffered much, O Lord. Restore my life again as you promised. Lord, accept my offering of praise and teach me your regulations. My life constantly hangs in the balance, but I will not stop obeying your instructions. The wicked have set their traps for me, but I will not turn from your commandments. Your laws are my treasure. They are my heart's delight. I am determined, listen to this, I am determined to keep your decrees to the very end. New kingdom. This is what the kingdom is all about. These scriptures, this is what it's all about. The kingdom of God is following the word of God through thick and thin, no matter what. Whether you're on the mountaintop or you're down in the valley of the shadow of death, you refuse to turn away from the truth of God's word. I don't care that the whole world is going in that direction. The word of God says go in that direction. That's where I'm going. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care if everybody else bows down. I refuse to bow to an idol. I refuse to bow down except to my Lord, the Most High God. They're going to throw me into the fiery furnace. I don't care. I refuse to bow down. I'm going to stand. Everybody else is bowing down, but I refuse to disobey the word of the Lord. We see it throughout the word of God. See it throughout the word of God. Daniel thrown into the lion's den. Kim was mentioning it this morning. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego thrown into the fiery furnace. Why? Because they refused to disobey the word of the Lord, the instructions of the Lord. They said, no matter what, I will not stop obeying your instructions. This is clearly a determination to follow the word of the Lord no matter what. So he's saying, I am determined to walk in the light. I am determined to walk in the light. No matter what happens, I'm going to walk in the light. You're not just walking through life. You're either walking in light or darkness through life. It's our choice. So look at the words of Jesus in Matthew 6:22, Jesus said, your eye is like a lamp that provides light for your whole body. When your eye is healthy, your whole body is filled with light. But when your eye is unhealthy, your whole body is filled with darkness. And if the light you think you have is actually darkness, how deep is that darkness? I'm going to read that again. Did you see that? If the light you think you have is darkness, how deep is that darkness? No one can serve two masters, for he will either hate one and love the other. You will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and be enslaved to money. The word healthy, your eye is like a lamp that provides light for your body. When your eye is healthy, your whole body is filled with light. The word healthy is the Greek word haplos. Haplos actually means single, undivided focus. Haplos. When your eye is healthy, single, undivided focus. Can you shut the lights off again? Single, undivided focus. When you are focused on the light of Christ, the Word of God, single, undivided focus. That, not a double agenda, not saying I'm following Jesus, but going off here in the darkness. Single, undivided focus. When you're focused on the light of Christ, and you don't take your eyes off of him, then he lights the way wherever you go, and the world takes notice. They see a difference in your life. They don't see this person who says one thing with their mouth but does another thing. They see a person who follows up their words with action. They follow the light. Wherever the light goes, that's where they go. It may not make sense to you. You may not understand, Lord, why are you telling me in your word to do this or to do that or to go here or to go there? It may not make sense for your situation. You're sitting there going, but this doesn't make sense to me. It makes better sense to go in this direction. But the Lord is saying, if you'll just trust me and follow me, I have the perfect plan. I won't let you down. Turn the lights back on. So the question today for you is, where has your focus been? Have you been singularly focused on the Word of God, the light of Christ? Or do you feel like maybe you've been walking in the darkness in some places, stumbling around in some areas? Maybe you've gotten off in the weeds in some man-made ideas of who God is, what He's saying to you personally in His Word. This is what I want to do. I want you to close your eyes. I want to pray, and then I'm going to ask you a question, and then we're just going to pray together. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for every heart and mind that's in this place and watching right now. I pray, Father, that you would give us strength and boldness and courage to allow you in to those areas we haven't let you touch. Areas, God, in our hearts that we've been closely guarding and are not allowing you to touch because, Father, we're afraid of what might happen if we let you have every space. In fact, Lord, I hear right now in the Spirit, I hear some thinking, well, I saw what you did with so-and-so, with her and with him when they allowed you to have their whole life. And Father, I'm afraid of that. I'm afraid of what you might call me to do. So I've been guarding this spot. And I'm just asking, Lord, right now, that you touch that place. In the name of Jesus, touch that place. So keep your eyes closed, and if that's you, if the Lord's been speaking to you throughout this message today, and you've been stumbling around in some darkness, and you know it, there's no doubt about it, you know it. There's some areas of your life you've just been stumbling around in darkness, and you just want to say, man, I want to deal with that today. I want you to stand right now. Just stand. Let's just deal with that. Yeah. Don't be ashamed. We all stumble around at times. We all always have areas. Yeah. Anybody else? Come on, stand. There you go. Anybody else? Stand. Let's pray about it. So everybody else in this place, you're like, I'm walking in the light, fully in the light of Christ. There's no areas in my life that I'm being deceived by the enemy. There's no areas in my life. There you go. Come on. That's better. That's better. Come on. Some of you know. You're like, man, I know there's some spots right now. Yeah. There's some spots I need to turn over. Yeah. There we go. Open your eyes and look at me. I want you to know Jesus loves you with all of his heart. For you, not against you. He is rooting you on, cheering for you. And what he's saying today is just, look, just be singularly focused on this word, him, the word of God. Don't just pick it up when the going gets tough. Pick it up every single day, read it, and devote yourself to it. Follow the word of God. Follow the word of God. He's got a mission for your life. He's going to change lives through you. I gotta say this, Marilyn. He's going to change lives through you. I see it all over you. Like once you decided to surrender and give it all to the Lord, man, right? The presence of the Lord exploded in your heart, and there is a mission now. God will have you on. I'm telling you, God uses, he takes those strengths that he's placed in you and he uses them for his glory, but the enemy will try to take those same strengths and twist them and use them to tear down. So God's going to take all those strengths, Marilyn, and you're going to see just the presence of God explode in your life. And you're going to touch a bunch of people. You're just going to, it's going to get all over people, right? I'm going to talk about that next week. So let's just pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, take my heart. Take every part of it. Can you say that? Say, take my heart, Jesus. take every part. I give it all to you. Father, these areas that I've been stumbling in the darkness, I'm devoting to you right now. And I say, Lord, right now, I'm going to follow your word. I'm going to follow your word. Lord, I pray if there's an area that we're not devoting to your word, that we're not, Father, just singularly focused on your word, I pray, God, you reveal it to us. Reveal it to us, Father. Show us so that we can devote every part of us to you. Lord, we thank you for that. We praise you. Thank you for your word, God. Thank you for doing a work in us today. Lord, I pray that we would devour your word every day. Father, that we would know the scripture before and the scripture after. Those popular scriptures. Plant that in our hearts, Lord, I pray, forevermore.